Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
I, Elena Kagan, do solemnly swear that I will administer justice without respect to persons. So help me God.
God is punishing these soldiers, punishing their parents, really. And the parents ought to be very thankful for me to tell them this.
It's one thing to assume the role of God and to call down judgment on others. To do it at a time of bereavement of our fallen heroes in uniform is just despicable beyond description.
You don't reform the sinful flesh, you put it to death. That's what the Bible says. It's not a matter of making him better. It's a matter of making him dead so that he doesn't kill you.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
We've all seen them. We've all either willingly or unwillingly participated in them. If you go to church, if you've been to church for any amount of time, you have seen, heard, and done some of this. Stewardship programs in the church are, some people think that they're an absolute necessity. Capital fund drives constantly in many congregations, big deficits, big revolving lines of credit, not able to pay the bills, but somehow always, always, always trying to raise those funds and meet that bottom line. Is that what Christian stewardship is about? Is it about keeping the institution going for the sake of the institution? Is it about paying bills for the sake of paying bills? Is there more to it? We're going to be talking about stewardship programs in the church here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday, October the 6th. A little bit later, a sermon review, as we usually do here on Wednesdays. A sermon on Luke 17, 1 through 10, Unworthy Servants, preached by Pastor Charles St. Ange, Associate Pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. That'll be the second half hour. In the second hour of the program, audio open lines. Are the protests at soldiers' funerals protected speech under the freedom of religion? Your answer to that question a little bit later. Then Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about media coverage of the Pew Forum survey on religious knowledge of Americans. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us talkback at issuesetc.org. Joining us to talk about stewardship programs in the church, Pastor Paul Schluter. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Milford Center, Ohio, and author of an article titled Gifts from the Giver, Christian Congregations and Stewardship Programs. Pastor Schluter, welcome back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
First, if you would, kind of make the case for us that churches do need money.
Well, God has placed the church in the, as we say in the Lutheran theology, in the left-hand kingdom, and that means that we have all kinds of obligations that we have to meet. Churches have bills to pay, heating bills and electrical bills. They have staff members that they have to pay, and janitors, mail services, internet services, all kinds of things like that. So there is a need for money. Also, churches support mission programs and all those things that that we do that help with the furtherance of the gospel. So we have a need for money.
You probably have been the recipient of many a sales pitch for the latest stewardship program from both inside and outside our denomination. What is a common denominator that you find among most of these?
I seem to find that a lot of them don't always do the best job of rightly dividing law and gospel. it seems that oftentimes there's a confusion. You know, we talked about the church being of the right-hand kingdom, but living in the left-hand kingdom. And sometimes it seems that we want to borrow an awful lot from the left-hand kingdom to influence the way that we go about talking about stewardship within our congregations.
Okay, let's kind of expand on that. It is at the root of it, the failure to rightly divide the Word of God in terms of law and gospel in these stewardship programs. Is there certain assumptions made about how the church ought to raise money? In fact, even what the church itself is?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think definitely that's true. I think that there's often a corporate mindset that finds its way into the church that sees money and the raising of money as generating revenue or income, that often sees the offerings as revenue and then even sees the individual church members as customers. So it seems like that there's an attempt to see it as a corporation instead of as a gathering of God's people.
Pastor Schluter, you say that that Congregation Inc., that's your term there, should not exist for the sake of itself. What kind of institutionalism is being betrayed by that mindset?
Well, I think that sometimes the stewardship programs want to view the program is really ultimately for the benefit of the institution. They're all geared towards increasing the bottom line. You know, my own congregation has, we have a school, we have obligations that we have to meet, and it's certainly a challenge to do so, and we're always looking for means to make sure that we're paying our bills and that we are being good stewards with what God has given to us. But the temptation is to see ultimately the stewardship program as for the church. I think that Scripture would, if we're rightly applying Scripture, then we would understand it for the benefit for the spiritual growth of the individual members. And God's Word certainly has a lot to say to us as Christians in terms of how we deal with our money. But a lot of the time, that isn't the emphasis. A lot of the time, it has more to do with how can the church pay its bills? How can the church meet some vision or some goal that it has?
You mention in the article that you've written that a lot of pastors try and kind of soften the money issue by including time and talents along with money in terms of good stewardship. You say Scripture already has a doctrine that covers time and talents. What do you mean?
Well, we've got the doctrine of vocation that we like to talk about in the Lutheran Church, and that does a great job of helping us to understand our role as Christians in the world. That we are, Scripture puts it, a kingdom of priests, whereby we receive God's gifts of love and forgiveness and then take them out into the world to serve our neighbor. It seems that a lot of time what happens is, and I think it's really innocent, but, pastors, nobody likes to talk about money. And it seems like, pastors are afraid that if they talk too much about money from the pulpit, then they'll hear about it from their parishioners, and then the people will say, "Well, pastor, all you want to talk about is money." And so, rather than bringing up the topic of money, they'll kind of soften it a little bit by saying that stewardship also involves your time or your talents, and kind of in addition to your treasures, and that's fine, and that's good that we talk about those things. But there are times when Scripture very specifically talks about money, and it talks about how we deal with our money and how our money can sometimes be a god for us, or how money can sometimes motivate us to feelings and actions and intentions of greed. And I think sometimes we would be best to divide those two things out and let money, when we're going to talk about money, let's talk about money. And then when we're going to talk about vocation, let's talk about vocation. And it seems like the casualty in all of this is the gospel, that our motivation for serving our neighbor with our, whether it be with our time or our talents or whatever, tends to gravitate toward the law, toward there's some kind of a manipulation or kind of something hanging over your head that you've got to accomplish. I think if we keep the two things divided, that we will serve both better in the long run.
You say the real problem here is, right down to the very heart of it, idolatry. What do you mean?
Idolatry in the sense that money has a tendency to become a god. You know, whether we're talking greed, I want to keep it all for myself, or I want to use my money to buy something, you know, fancy or nice or fun, or whether we see our money as our salvation. I've got to hold on to my money because it's gonna feed me, it's gonna clothe me, it's gonna keep me warm during the winter. Ultimately, I think our money becomes our god. When we're preaching the Word of God faithfully, I think that we can identify that idolatry and tell Christians that if your god is your stomach, if you're holding on to your money because you want to buy lots of fancy things for yourselves, and let's face it, there are lots of fancy things that we can buy, that ultimately that's not going to provide the satisfaction that you think it will. There's always something good, you know, something better, something more, something, you know, more fun, more sparkling, more exciting. So that's a lie. And to think that our money is going to save us is also a lie, because God is the one who provides for us. And Scripture has countless examples of where God has provided for those in need at just the right time. And we can talk about God as a faithful giver, as one who provides for us, as one who cares for us, from just countless examples from Scripture that will deal with that problem of idolatry.
When we come back, but they work. These law-based, law-driven stewardship programs, they do get people to open their wallets and their checkbooks and put money in the plate. And many would argue in the church that, look, this is just the reality of the way we are today. It would be nice if we could all be motivated from the free gift of God's grace, but that doesn't work. So what we need to do is use some of these stewardship principles, train people, make it an educational process, a habit-building process, and we need to essentially motivate people from the law, from a set of rules and requirements, because it works. We'll see what Pastor Paul Schluter has to say in response to that after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the Lady Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, Equipping the Priesthood of All Believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues, Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. this Wednesday afternoon, October the 6th. We're talking about stewardship programs in the church. Pastor Paul Schluter is our guest. Pastor Schluter, how do you respond to someone who says this is the reality of being the church in America? It's simply the way it works. You motivate people to give by principles, rules, requirements, and laws. And I know it'd be nice if it all worked the way you think it should, but this is the way it really works.
Well, we're kind of hypocrites then, aren't we? We're telling people that they need to step out in faith and give to the church, but we're not willing to step out in faith and trust God to provide for the church. Now, you know, I think that there is some room for churches to be of a practical mindset. I think it happens all the time that a pastor will come up with some bright idea of what he thinks the church should be, and, you know, it's his vision for the congregation, but it's way overblown, and there's no way that the congregation can afford that. So, you know, there's time for congregations to be smart and exercise good stewardship. I think the bottom line is, you know, when it comes to stewardship programs, that we really ought to trust God and trust the Word of God to say what it says it's going to do. In some parts, you know, I think it has to do with this doctrine of sanctification, that we are sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. And, you know, sure, we can find lots of ways to separate people from their money, but ultimately that doesn't do them as, you know, an individual Christian any good. They need to hear God's Word applied specifically to them as sinners who idolize their money, who see their money as their God and all the stuff that it can buy, but also who have been redeemed by Christ through His holy, you know, not with silver or gold, we say in our catechism, but with the holy, precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of Jesus. So, you know, ultimately, I think sometimes congregations fall victim to this idolatry also, and we need to apply God's law and then receive the freedom and the blessing of God's gospel.
Is it really that simple, that it is the message of Christ's free gift of salvation given totally at His expense with absolutely no obligation set upon us whatsoever? That message that actually produces the kind of stewards that all of these stewardship programs are trying and failing to produce?
Well, yeah, we are very much a pragmatic culture, and we want results, you know, yesterday. And sometimes congregations grow impatient because, you know, a pastor will preach a stewardship sermon and doesn't see, you know, right then and there, you know, all the money that that the church needs. But, you know, sometimes we're also theologians of the cross, and we don't always see the results that we want. You know, rather we see, you know, God's gifts as He gives them, as He chooses to give them, and we trust God, even in the midst of our lean times, to give us what we need, and we trust that God will work through His Word.
I wanted to come back to something that you had mentioned in your article, and that is, it is often stewardship. Christian stewardship is often approached as an educational thing. People don't know how to give, or people need to be trained in the habit of giving, or something like that. It's a very, very behavioral approach, and it's amazing how common this approach is in Christian congregations. What's wrong here?
Well, I think it denies original sin. If you and I, Todd, were just you know, people who were misdirected, then a little bit of education would set us in the right direction, and we would be great givers, or we would be fabulous Christians, and we'd be fine. The church would be fine. But our problem goes much deeper than that. Our problem is that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we don't, you know, we don't want to share what God has given us with others. And it doesn't matter how much, you know, all the education in the world isn't going to change the fact that I am a selfish person and I want what I want. Or it isn't going to change the fact that I get scared when I've got bills to pay. Rather, I need God's word of law that condemns that sin, and then I need I need the Holy Spirit working through the gospel that teaches me faith, that teaches me to trust God, and that moves me to love my neighbor so that I want to take care of my neighbor through my offerings, through my almsgiving.
Does it surprise you, Pastor Schluter, that many a congregation, both large and small, that have kind of bought into the institutional model of the church and bought into the let's just educate people on how to be good stewards, that's all they need to know is a little bit more on information, that congregations year in, year out struggle to meet the budget, struggle with deficits that just run from year to year. And it's not only congregations, it's church bodies as well. Does that surprise you at all?
Well, no. This side of eternity, God doesn't promise that anything is going to go, great for us. The church suffers. And part of that suffering is financial suffering. And, if we had everything that we wanted, then we would probably... It probably wouldn't be the best for our walk of faith. Proverbs says, "Don't give me poverty, don't give me riches, just feed me with the food that I need. If I had too much, I would forget you. If I didn't have enough, then I would steal." So God always provides what we need. God doesn't let us go hungry, but at the same time, he doesn't, it's not like God is a genie. It's not like God is the state lottery commission. God, rather, in his wisdom, gives us what we need when we need it. And in the meantime, helps us to trust and teaches us to trust. And I think we can take great comfort in that as Christians.
Finally, then, Pastor Schluter, you say that Christian stewardship is a spiritual matter. It's a matter, ultimately, of faith. What do you mean?
It's not just an issue of generating revenue. It's not just an issue of meeting the budgets and paying the bills. Rather, it is teaching Christians to understand their inert, can inherit sin, sinfulness, and to confess that sin and turn to Christ and receive from him his forgiveness. And God is faithful, and God teaches us through that to do those good works that lead to good stewardship. But ultimately, it's a spiritual thing. It's a faith thing. It's a gospel thing in seeing God's gifts and then responding in love to one another.
Pastor Paul Schluter is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Milford Center, Ohio. He's author of an article titled Gifts from the Giver, Christian Congregations and Stewardship Programs. You'll find a link to this article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Paul, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.